Yes, this is Dope for Life with the Hyperview Podcast. I'm here today with a very special guest. This is our first in studio actual interview, so I'm proud and I'm happy to be able to introduce to some, right, and reintroduce to others. And I'm going to let you introduce yourself.
Is that now? It's my part.
Yeah, okay.
Perfect. I love the intro. I am Ranika. I'm also go by Rico, founder of Rico Layer Events. Am I looking at this camera? Yes. Yeah, that's when I told you earlier about finding my angle. So founder of Rico Layer Events, really a company that focuses on social events, either of the in-person or virtual variety. Really being able to help people connect with family and friends and peers all over the world. So, and I'm so excited to be here.
That's dope. That's dope. I know, at least from my experience with you sitting down, and I believe the first thing we did together was an event, right?
Yeah, right here in this building.
Right here in this building. I won't show you how long I've been here. But can you give me some context on kind of what was the start of your entrepreneur journey? Like, let's say you were working, whatever that was, and then what made you either, I don't know if you're still working, if that's a thing, like, what made you take that shift to now I want to start working on entrepreneurial ventures?
Yeah, so I think for me, it really starts years before I even, like, thought of getting my business license, because I always had this idea that I would work for myself.
Right.
But I had no idea what that would actually look like. And so I just had it in the back of my head. And then once I moved to California and started hosting house parties and potlucks. It was just like someone was like, oh, like, you're really good at like bringing everyone together and doing things like that. I'm like, yeah, that's cool, but then what do I do with that? And then once I moved to Sacramento, I was like, oh, so then I think I just saw something online about mentorship for entrepreneurs. I'm
right.
Like, hey, that and it was free, so like for me, that was like the first thing that popped out. Like, I don't have to pay anything and they're gonna teach me how to be a business owner. All right, cool. So I just like, I think that was like the first concrete, step into my journey of being like, okay, I'm going to join this course or I'm going to get into this program. Although it started, you know, way before with this, the initial idea, oh, I want to work for myself, but I had no idea how that would look. And I feel like I am, even though I've been in my company for a few years now, feel like I'm still on that journey just because like there's so much that I'm still learning.
Right.
And which I love, but yeah, it just really started with the idea of like, I knew I didn't want to work for someone else for the rest of my life. But you know, just really figuring out the best way to manifest that, just took a little bit longer, I think.
No. Yeah. I can 100%. Like, it's always a journey, right?
Yes.
Like, I don't think you ever really get to the point to where you attain it, right?
Yeah,
you're still always going to be working on it and towards it. That's why I always try to say, like, money, like, certain things are bad motivators. Mm-hmm. Because then once you have it, like, do you stop working on whatever?
Like, you were trying to be good at? Is it just like, okay, now I've earned $10,000 in a month. Now, like, now I have to go to $20,000 and $30,000.
Exactly.
Like, and those things for me are less goals than actual, like, seeing the impact.
Milestones.
Right.
Or, yeah, like you were saying, of understanding the other side of that.
Yeah.
Like, if I got $10,000, right, that means that I exchanged $10,000 or more worth of value to whoever gave it to me, right? Because unless you're living in a world that I don't know about, right, most people don't, like, exchange their money for something that they don't deem valuable.
No.
I might not find it valuable, but they deem it valuable. So, I think it's a quote. I don't know who said it. I think it's Myron Golden. Your bank account and the amount of money you have in it is a direct correlation to how much value you provide other people.
I love that.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like, no matter how we feel about people who are, like, really uber rich, right? They found a way to be really valuable to either a whole bunch of people or really valuable to a select few of people, because again, value just doesn't transfer that way, right? Money is just money is a representation of value, but it's not the only value that exists in the world, right? So for somebody to trade you their money, which they usually have to use their hard-earned time to do, that's 98% of the population is trading a little bit of a lot of their time for a little bit of money, right? So for them to trade that money, they're going to have to find value in it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that kind of changed my mindset of, it's not so much money that I'm looking for. It's an increase in how much value that I can bring to other people.
Right. And I think for me, like, that actually hit it right on the head. Cause like when I started thinking of, okay, I could get into the event planning or event management industry.
Right.
It was my initial goal was never to, oh, how can I make as much money as possible? It was like, how can I bring value to people through events? And like I've always really been drawn to like themed and costumes, because like, again, Halloween, my favorite holiday. It's all about being dressed up and like bringing out a different side of your personality through costumes, or just being able to explore things that you don't throughout the rest of the year. So it's nice to really see that impact and be able to get that either immediate or through virtual survey feedback from people,
right?
And to see like, oh, like they're actually having a good time at an event that I either hosted or coordinated and through myself.
You
so
are part of
it. Yeah, right. So it's just like that value for me, although money is nice, it's more about what people are able to get out of coming to one of my events, or how they can connect to their communities by attending.
Right.
Yeah.
And I like that, the creating and nurturing community from the beginning, whether it's business owner, employee, whatever. A big part of Hyperview is kind of understanding different people's perspectives. And you don't get that without having conversations, without being, you know, somewhat in the same room, on the telephone, whatever. Like initiating those conversations is a necessary for business, not just for personal growth. But we kind of talked about it offline as far as, your business is the culmination of all of the relationships you have with other people, right?
Definitely.
Businesses buy from businesses, but businesses are made up of people, right? So like, it doesn't matter if you're B2B, if you're direct to consumer, it's the relationships that you're building. So if you're not spending time, one, specifically working on that skill, and then two, taking action on that skill, your business or whatever venture you have isn't going to be very successful.
Definitely. And I feel like in the last couple months, I've done more B2B through networking as I'm trying to establish vendors that people could use through my company. But in that process, understanding really that it's less of, okay, my company knows your company, and it's more, I know you and you know me. And so I'm really building that rapport, like you just said, which is really important, because the more that people know you and know you for doing good work, the more you're going to get business down the line. So it's less of like the instant gratification, and it's more of like, okay, I'm playing this for the long term.
Right.
Because I know, like, if I have positive relationships within the community, it'll be easier to get the word out for future projects. So
100%, especially when it comes business to business, business owners trade on different currency than you know, a customer, a solo customer might, just because a lot of it is their reputation, right? So if my reputation is going to be on the line, I need to make sure whoever I'm sending, talking to, or getting a service from has at least a reputable reputation, right? And I can trust, but I also need to verify.
Yes.
So B2B sales for sure, like, you got to build that relationship. They buy from who they know, you know what I mean? Like, or they work with who they know,
and,
you know what I mean?
And that
or somebody who knows...
And that isn't an overnight thing. Like, like, you put in the legwork and the time for those relationships. And like, once they're cultivated, it's just like, it's like magic.
Yeah. Because then you can keep popping back, popping back, popping back. Because it's I've built that relationship. I've done the right things. And I've proven myself
yeah.
through experience and them seeing me do it, mm-hmm. not me just telling them that I can do it. Speaking to that, what do you feel has been some of the hardships as far as like just staying on course? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Not so much financials, things of that nature, but like, I mean, yeah, financial, obviously, but just trying to stay focused realistically. Because I know a lot of times you get into business and you think it's going to be one thing. And then it's like, oh, well, I can do this. And then I can do this. Mm-hmm. And I can do this, right? And
yeah.
trying to stay focused on, one, what is it that I really wanted to do? And then two, even when the money might not be coming in or the people might not be paying attention, how do I stay motivated and focused to try to accomplish this goal?
I think for me, the way that it mainly manifests is like imposter syndrome. Because like, especially like when I first got into, got my business license, it was like, okay, now I have this thing. Now, like, now what? Like, and then I'll find myself in rooms where I'm just like, I feel like everyone else is like so much
elevated.
Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, wow. Like, am I actually really doing anything? Because this person is already like, they do like 20,000 events a year and like everyone knows their name. And I'm just like, and I'm just here, you know, like really still building my platform. But then I also have to realize, hey, that person has been doing this for 20 years. And I literally have been doing it for what, like, 2 or 3. So it's officially 2 or 3. So it's
right.
So like how, and then I don't see the work that they put in.
You're right. You don't know what they had to do to get to 20,000 events a year.
Yeah. But once I, when I'm in that mindset of like, of lack of like, of experience and feeling like an imposter, I just sit down and ask myself, okay, so what in this particular situation makes you feel this way? And what is the difference between yourself and the person
and that person that you're looking at.
Yes. Right. And so then I start to notice the difference. The difference is I'm like, okay, that is a pretty big gap of experience. And that's why like everyone knows who they are and
right.
you know, and it's so much easier for them to get, you know, traffic into the door for their projects. And so I'm like, okay, cool. I'll get there eventually. But I think that for sure is one of the biggest hurdles for me to get over.
Imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
I think it comes in levels, right? Mm-hmm. Like once you get over one imposter syndrome, as you continue to go up in success levels, amount of money, like it likes to creep back in because now I'm on another level and these people here are there. So I definitely think I can 100% relate. The way that I try to kind of deal with that is a first sergeant when I was in the army told me, he was like, I'll never be afraid of another man because he puts his pants on one leg at a time like me.
I love that.
And I was like, it just so humanizes people. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter how much money he has. It doesn't matter how big he is and what he puts his pants on one leg at a time like me. So whatever he's able to do, I can do.
I mean, or he could like put him into like,
he could hop in.
Like a vice grip and then like jump into.
Yeah. You know, like I don't know. Maybe that's it. Yeah. That's a whole nother level of living, but you know what I mean? Like either way, he's got to put his, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like we both got pants. We both got a shirt. Like underneath all of this stuff, we all kind of got to do the same stuff. Right. Like, so thinking that somebody has this capacity that you don't, this knowledge or the ability to do something that you can't, it's just a limiting factor that you're telling yourself.
Mm-hmm.
This is an excuse that I've told myself of why I can't do X, Y, and Z, right?
Yeah.
Instead of, like you said, how do I create a path to where I can get there?
Yeah.
If they did it, right? Mm-hmm. That means it's possible, right? That literally means it's possible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, okay, if they did it, how can I do it, right?
Yeah.
And the easiest way to achieve something is to find somebody who did it and model your behavior after them. So it's like, I think once you have that shift in your mind where it's no longer, I'm not competing with these people. They're just examples of what's possible. And I need to pick what I'm looking to do and find the right example and start doing that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things that you feel were necessary for you to go through on your entrepreneur journey that like have taught you some lessons that you're using today?
Now that I think about that, probably so many, but the thing that's coming to my brain right now is the fact that there were so many people that when I first started or even had the concept where it's like, oh yeah, like I will definitely be down to help you in whatever way I can. And then finding out, you know, like at the end of the day, like even if they fall off,
I still gotta keep pushing
because it's just like, yeah, people can understand your vision, but like it's not their vision. So the person that cares about it the most still has to be me.
Right.
Because even if everyone else falls off, like I still have to care and like get the work done.
Right.
So I think that was one of the first hard lessons that I had to learn. And I've always been used to like super hard work and dedication, but then when it came down to it, and just like, oh, this thing falls on your shoulders.
Yeah.
And like I was like, that like scared me a little bit, but then like the more I did the work, the more I became comfortable in doing it. And so then that really fell away. But like in the beginning, I'm like, oh shit, how am I supposed to do this all by myself? Like, but then, you know, I just had to realize what I didn't know, so that way I can fill in the gaps.
Right.
And so that's when going into like business mentorship and different programs to help you become a better business owner as a entrepreneur really helped me. But I think without people falling away, I would have still relied on people that maybe didn't.
They're enthusiastic.
Yeah, yeah.
You enthusiastic, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Which it's the inverse, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's your baby, so
yeah.
The more you believe in it, yeah. The more that'll mm-hmm. transfer to other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the more, and I, getting into the different business programs allowed me to, on a daily basis, if not a weekly basis, practice talking about my business. Because at first I was like, yeah, I have the idea down, but like it wasn't concise enough for me to like tell someone about it,
right.
And feel confident as
right.
I was speaking about it. And so now I have gone through it so many times. I'm like, yeah, I can tell you all about it. But I definitely had to work toward that.
Your elevator pitch.
Yeah.
Right.
And I never would have done that had I not really felt like it was just all on me. And then I felt the need to like seek out people to help me with that particular task that I had to
right.
do.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is a lot of self-reflection, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like being honest with yourself, being humble enough to say,
oh, yeah.
I don't know it all.
Yeah.
Right. And then having the courage and the willingness to go out and find people who do and accept that guidance.
Yeah.
I think that's, I can support that 100%. Because for sure, a lot of times people just, they may know that, a lot of times we know the right thing to do. We just haven't figured out or got fed up enough with whatever
yeah.
the current situation is to
yeah.
like, I am done dealing with this. Like,
thankfully in my case, I was pretty fed up really early. So,
right.
There was some lessons I didn't have to learn quite the hard way.
Right.
So I was like, okay, cool. Let me, go ahead and like research as much as I can.
Yay!
The things that I have access to. And so, yeah. So I was like, I was super quick to do that.
Yeah. How important is research, guidance, mentorship in your journey? Like, what has that done for you?
I think it's been the most important part of my journey, just because like when I started, I had no business sense at all.
Right.
Because I was coming from an analytical mind, a creative mind. Definitely not a business mind.
Kind of like an employee, right?
Yeah,
like I
yeah.
was used to being told what to do and
oh,
like
yeah,
to execute
yeah.
that.
I'm
thing.
A great worker.
Right.
And
yeah,
so,
yeah.
so I knew I would be able to get the work done. It's just before that, I wasn't in a position to where all of the ideas flowed for me. All of the work, especially initially, was coming from me. And I was so used to being like, having someone tell me, okay, this is what we expect you to do.
These are the goals. These
exactly.
Are the
I'm like, cool.
Right.
Thank you. I just needed a checklist. I can definitely knock that out. But yeah, it's just like being able to make that transition.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. And is there any particular like metrics that you track in your business to like give yourself goals or to understand how your growth is happening?
Let me see. I think in the beginning, my metrics were
pretty rudimentary, and it was like, on a day-to-day basis, am I getting things done? And so that,
like, task oriented.
Yeah, and so that's now morphed into on a project by project basis. Okay. Just because, like, the way that my year is split up, it's not like one continuous project, it's multiple.
Right, and so, multiple layers of tasks that we may be associated
with. Yeah, and so I for sure see the progress and the success of my projects based on, one, how I'm connecting with people. Mm-hmm. Is it still relevant for people in their daily lives? If I am falling off or noticing a reduction of attendance or interest, is it that I'm just off the mark, mm-hmm. or is it that, you know, there's something going on externally that I should be paying attention to and kind of adjusting for?
Yeah. So you do track, like, how many people attend the events that you're throwing, mm-hmm. how many people kind of show up for, like, the live events, different things of that nature, just so you can track, see what's the marketplace reacting to the things that I'm putting out.
And I am now in a position where I'm using that track data and then, like, making graphs for it. Mm-hmm. So bringing in that analytical mind that I always bring to everything to see, like, over time, where am I noticing the trends, and, you know, is it, like, a specific time of year that I'm noticing things kind of, like, being a little bit wonky, or is it just more, like, sporadic?
Right. Yeah. No, 100%. That makes sense. I think what you track grows, and for different businesses, different people are going to track different things. Mm-hmm. But I like something that you said as far as, at first it was task-oriented, right? I just wanted to make sure I was getting things done. Yeah. Then you realize at a certain point, right, as an entrepreneur, busy work just isn't the only thing that I need to work. I don't need to just be busy.
Right.
It needs to be tied to something, right? And so now you're project-based, which is like, these are the projects that ultimately, right, will be the drivers of my income or the drivers of my my revenue source, or however you want to call it. So realistically, as your metrics, they should be, you know, task things, attendance.
Yeah.
They should always be tied to some kind of revenue-driven metric, right? Like, because otherwise, it's just busy work, right?
Yes.
And I'm not saying it doesn't need to be done or you don't need to do it, but there are other ways to track those types of tasks. I think, like, the metrics that are important for your business should be tied to revenue. Even if it is busy work, how does this work and it not being done affect us not being able to do or achieve whatever it is that we're trying to achieve?
Exactly.
And when you think in that capacity, right, it helps you to be a lot more focused in your attention, because as you grow in the business, right, your capacities and the responsibilities grow. How do I delegate this? What do I need to do as the visionary, the person who's coming up with this?
Mm-hmm.
And then what is does not need my attention, right? Because I always think of the aspect of, I'm going to be uber successful at this.
Yeah.
So how am I going to survive at that rate?
Right.
If I can do that now, by the time I get there, I'll be on cloud nine. I've been doing this since day one, right? So I try to set my goals, my tasks, and then my own responsibilities kind of that way. What would I be doing 10 years down the line when Brazelton Business Group is a multinational corporation?
Yeah. And so that actually really does fall into alignment with the motto of the Max Reaches Thinking Like a CEO program, which I just graduated from. And it's in that program taught me how to work on my business, not in my business.
In your business.
Because before, all of the daily tasks that I was tracking, that was working in my business.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't working on it because I was just like, there was always, you know, five or six things that I wanted to check off my list versus thinking big picture.
Right. We get addicted to the check. Understanding that it's not bringing in a check.
Exactly. And I was just like, oh, yeah, I did five things today. But then it's just like, okay, so how does that fit in the big picture of what you want to do 5, 10 years down the line? Oh, I don't know. Let me actually think about it. And so, like, once I got away from that thing, that mindset, it was like, it was so much easier.
I'm doing stuff just to do it.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to be busy. Yeah. I just need to give myself tasks so I feel good that I'm working in my business, right?
Yeah, yeah.
No
one can say I'm lazy because I did 20 things today, but then it's just like, what did they actually accomplish?
Right. And not everything's going to show up right away. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying, unless it makes you money today, you don't need to do it. No, just understand how it's connected to revenue, right?
Yeah.
Like, and if it's not, then it probably is not a task anybody should be doing, right? Like,
either revenue or marketing.
And marketing is tied directly to revenue, right?
Yeah.
Like, to me, there are four parts of a business, right? And I'm only going to give you three because you'll never get to number four if you don't do 1, 2, 3, right?
Yeah.
First is lead generation, right? Like, we need to tell people about the business and see if they're interested, right? Once I got a lead, I need to turn a lead into a client, right? How do I get you from knowing about my product to buying my product or my service, whatever the case may be? And then once I have you as a client, how do I retain you as a client, right? How do you keep coming back for more? Do I even have an offer that allows me to retain you on some kind of continuous basis, right? And then, it's my podcast, so I'll do number four. I can lie. if you've got lead generation, you've got client conversion, right? And then you've got a retention offer. You also need to be able to ascend them through your company, right? If usually people have like a core offer. This is how I get you in the business. This is definitely what I do. And then this is my premium offer, right? Like, this is for the best of the best.
Cream of the crop.
Exactly. So how do I ascend you through my business? Maybe you came in from a freemium offer. You came in on one of my core offers.
Mm-hmm.
How do I get you, one, to be retained indefinitely, right? How can I get you to pay for something for me either every month or on an annual basis? And then how do I ascend you to higher levels of working with me on a more in-depth basis or at a high level product, right? If you're doing all four of those things, you are going to succeed.
Yeah.
And if you're failing in any four of those areas, your business is going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
Like, and that's, I don't have to put an industry on it. Like,
yeah, just like across the board.
That's everybody, right? Got to bring people in and see if they buy something, right? And then once they've got it, are they happy with you?
Yeah.
Are they happy with the services, right? You'll find, and wherever you're hurting, it's different actions, right, that you need to take. If you got low lead generation, you need to market more.
Yep.
You need to have better branding.
Yeah.
Something's not hidden,
right?
If you got bad lead conversion, that means your offer's not translating well, right? Or the market doesn't want it, right?
Like, so that's like, that would be like the kicker, right? Because like, no one wants to think that they put in so much work.
And nobody wants it.
And then, it's like, I spend tens of thousands of dollars to market it, and you know, I have this beautiful building and then like the most beautiful logo, but like, if no one is interested, it's just like, it's just a really expensive hobby.
And I too, for sure, think this 1,000%. There's too many people on this earth for nobody to want it. I think 9 times out of 10, you just aren't able to find the right people.
Mm.
People buy poop cutters.
That's crazy.
Like, literal drawings for when they're on the... So when I saw... And it was an Instagram thing that I saw where somebody was just explaining... And the whole joke was, like, how can you sit in front of the mirror and say, whatever you have to sell isn't good enough when people buy poop cutters?
Yeah.
Like... Like, just keep that in the back of your mind when you think, like, whatever your product or service or, you know, thing is, like, if you don't think it's good enough, remember, people buy and use.
Yeah.
Buy and use.
There is a market for everything.
There is a market. You just got to find the right people.
Yeah.
So, for me, I always think that it's, you're just talking to the wrong people.
Yeah.
You haven't found your market yet.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of that.
So many things that gets people through their daily lives.
Yeah.
So like, and so like, going back
to
the concept of like, there's a market for everybody. It's just like, like, maybe there might be some adjustments that you make to what it is that you're selling to fit the market that actually wants what you're selling. But yeah, it's just like, once you get into that level of introspection of like, what is not working? Why is it not working? And how can I fix it?
Yeah.
Then I think that's when you can definitely get yourself back on the right track. If, you know, there is something that is like...
It's workable.
Yeah.
Or like you said, something that's out of alignment. And I think it also equally important is, is kind of like reversing your mindset. Instead of thinking about like what you think the market wants, think about what the market wants from you.
Yeah.
Right? Like, at the end of the day, I'm not making this transaction just so I can get your money, right? Hopefully, you're coming from a place where you really want to solve a problem for somebody, right? So the better you get at, one, obsessing over solving people's problems, and then, two, learning how to communicate that effectively, you'll have unlimited amounts of money, right? Because people will gladly give you some of their money to solve one of their problems. Mm-hmm. They do it every day.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
And they don't even realize it. We usually remember like bad sales interactions. Mm-hmm. Like
we
don't remember the time we go to McDonald's because we're hungry and we want to go buy something. Yeah. Right? Nobody sold you that McDouble or whatever it is.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like you just bought it because you wanted it.
Yeah, or when you go to Ross or Michael's, like people at the register don't have to convince
you
that you want to buy this. Like you went to the store knowing that you wanted to buy something. So, yeah.
No, 100%. So let's see. We're gonna. As we wrap it up, I wanna think about if there is anything that you feel is necessary for young entrepreneurs. I mean, some of them is old, middle-aged, wherever you at on your journey, that are kind of starting out looking to get into this type of space. What kind of advice, mentorship, or tips would you think that they would need?
Let's see. I feel like I'm one of those people that started a little bit later in life. But, and I think because of that, my advice would be to, once you figure out something that you want to do, definitely keep pushing, keep working at it, and find out, like, get to the nitty gritty of what it is that you actually want to do or what it is that your product or service is. Because the more that you understand it, the easier it's going to be for other people to understand it. Because no one knows your product or service better than you. So really diving deep into what it means to you, what it means to others, and what it means for the community as a whole for your product or service to be out there for people to interact with.
No, that's a gem. anything you got going on coming up this year or soon that you'd like people to be invited to join in on?
Yeah, actually, so this year I have my brand new BizConnect, which is virtual business networking for entrepreneurs that are looking to work on their brand. Even if you're a beginner, if you've been at it for a few years, or if you just want to kind of like freshen things up. So I actually have that coming tonight. It'll be a quarterly event, and then I have my popular virtual game nights, which is called Fun Night Games and Trivia, and it's all about really unique trivia themes and Jackbox TV virtual games. Anyone that comes on and plays, you're playing with people all over the world, so that's really crazy. Cool. And that's actually on the 9th of this month.
That's a dope idea.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Games with my kids.
Yeah.
I always think about, like, what do they mean 1 to 99? How many people have 99 people in their house? But I'm like, I never thought about, like, they're just open rooms.
Yeah.
Like, that's genius, right?
Yeah. And then let's see what else I have going on. Oh, I have my annual artist showcase this year, which will be on June 8th at the Lincoln Village Community Park in Rancho Cordova. It's going to be a really good time. Vendors, a live paint party for people that definitely want to get, you know, their hands dirty and not just buy from the vendor booths. And it'll be a DJ out there. It'll be food trucks and things. So, yeah, this is it. And also, there will be a community art project, which I am deeming the self-portrait.
Okay.
Community art project. So anyone that is going to be in the area and wants to put their mark onto that art collab, definitely inviting everyone else free. So,
And if you need, I will come out and do interviews for all the artists.
Oh, yeah. That would be great. Yeah.
Wonderful for me.
Yes, that's what I have going on this year. And you can find me on IG and Facebook at Rico Layer Events. And then I'm also on Eventbrite, Rico Layer Events.
Rico Layer Events. Well, I appreciate you coming with us today and being on the journey of our conversation. Just for me, please like and subscribe to the page. I appreciate it, and it's free, right? How many times can you do something free and actually help somebody?